I've decided to open my first savings account.
I've decided to reclaim my health.
I've decided to give faith
a second chance.
Time now for the I've Decided radio show, sponsored by I've Decided, an organization in Peoria designed to motivate people just like you to achieve your goals, from physical to financial health, to learning a new skill or being a better spouse. Now, I've Decided Radio.
Good morning, Central Illinois. You are tuning in to the I've Decided radio show this awesome Sunday morning. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided and host of the radio show today. We are so excited to have you with us. It's going to be a great show. I know. I say that every single week. Every single week I'm excited and it's going to be a great show. But really, they are, you know, they're all unique in their own way. But today I'm really excited to have Mr. Brian Wood in the studio with me today. Hey, Brian.
How are you, Kim? It's good to be here.
I am awesome. Thank you. I know I'm really happy to have you, and we're going to have some great conversation today. We got a lot of stuff going on. Of course, we're so thankful that you are a part of our organization as a business resource for people. You have a business, Good Shepherd Defense and Learning. We're going to talk about that, so we're thankful for that. But one of the big things that's really happening and we're really grateful for right now is you're going to be speaking one of our speakers at our upcoming conference on Saturday, February 1st.
Yeah, definitely. So I was happy to be invited for that, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. We got to hear you share at one of our business networking events, and I thought, man, this is too good just to share with a small group of 25 or 30 people. We need to bring it to the whole community, and so we're going to be talking a little bit about that too. Well, as you know, Brian, our weekly winning word this week is purpose. And I love that word because that's why I've decided to exist, really. We exist to help people achieve their goals and dreams, which I think is links to their purpose. And I do personally believe that we were all created for a purpose, and we have something, a lot of times more than something. We have several things to do while we're here on earth. And I think one of the questions that I asked you before we started recording was, because you are a retired vet and you're going to share a little bit about that, but I wondered, when you went into the military, did you feel like that was a part of your purpose? Like, was there something burning in your heart that was like, this is definitely something I have to do? Or did you kind of just do it because maybe you had a parent that was in the military, or where did that come from?
Yeah, so in regards to my family, like my background there, as far as I know, I was the only one to pursue the military. So there wasn't anyone in my family that I was kind of aiming towards. It was always kind of in my heart or in the back of my mind, even as a child, playing with my G.I. Joes, playing Army, all those things. It was just something that I wanted to do. And I wanted to be a police officer, or I wanted to be in the military. I wanted to be in that role. And I don't know why, but that's just where I felt most comfortable or more secure or led. Now, joining the military, a lot of stuff happened, you know, as I was growing up to maybe possibly push me in that direction. But I do remember vividly September 11th. I was still in high school. So I still remember exactly where I was when everything happened. And I was 99% sure that I was going to join the military. I was already actively pursuing that. And when the towers fell, that was it was a definite, it's 100%, I'm going to do this.
So kind of, you knew it as a child. So there has to, that comes back to the point of purpose. It's like, it's almost like there was something innate in you that had that protector kind of spirit, mm-hmm. I guess, if you would.
Right. Yeah, I guess if we want to go there, I mean, I could agree with that. That was where I knew I wanted to go. I couldn't see myself going to school and, you know, becoming an engineer, despite my mother's protesting.
I'm sure.
She's like,
your mom's like,
why don't
no,
you,
yeah, you're not going
yeah,
to
don't
doctor.
You want to work with computers? You know, just things like that. But still, it was, I had no interest in anything else other than that. You know, it was just, That's what I wanted.
So what did that look like then? Did you just go in as soon as you turned 18 or as soon as you graduated? Or yeah, did you look into different areas of the military?
Yeah, I did. So I did my research. I made sure I got to, to where I wanted to go. I narrowed it down because I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And at the end, I chose the Army and I chose infantry. So I chose with that branch, and I chose infantry as my MOS or military occupation specialty, specifically that. And the only reason why is, when I was a kid, I crawled around acting like I was an Army guy with a gun. That's what I wanted to do. And as a lot of people know, in the military, there's a lot of jobs. You could be a mechanic, you could be a cook, you could be a doctor, you could be a vet, I didn't want any of those things. I wanted to be that guy.
The G.I. Joe on the ground with the rifle.
Yeah. I wanted a G.I. Joe modeled after me.
Eventually. The last place I would ever want to be. But
So it was a lengthy progress, actually. For a medical reason, I wasn't able to join right away. It was a battle. I mean, I had to go back and forth, and I had to do a bunch of things. And eventually, it was about 9 months to 12 months of a battle, and I was finally able to go and join. So I was super thankful.
Yeah. And then, that's kind of where your journey started then, right out of high school, right into the military. It started there.
It definitely did.
And okay, so we got to hear a lot of that story while you were in Afghanistan. So, okay, let me back up. When you went into the military, did you immediately get deported, or were you, how does that story unfold? How long before you were in the battlefield in Afghanistan?
Yeah, so it was about 6 years before I even deployed. Did some home station stuff like that. Went to Hurricane Katrina. We did, clean up and stuff like that down there. We were there for about, a month and a half total. It seems so long ago. But it was about 6 years until I actually went and was deployed in a combat theater.
Okay, so this is going to bring up my first fear question, because we haven't mentioned this yet on the show, but your topic is fear over, beyond fear. And our theme this year for I've Decided is there's always more. And I kind of think, yes, on the other side of fear, because fear is one of those things that holds us back, and that's what you're going to be speaking on at the conference. But when you got, so was that the first time where you might have said, oh crap, I'm a little scared of being G.I. Joe on the ground with my gun now in real war? Or were you like, bring it on? Like,
yeah. So everybody thinks they know what they're going to do or say or act until a moment actually happens, right? That's everyone. So even on the plane ride to Afghanistan, it was, tensions were a little high, heart rate was starting to get up, and it became to start to get more real. It wasn't until we had actually landed and, we were at a more of a remote base, to where we started to get into the back of our armored vehicles to convoy to our new location. And they're giving us our safety briefing, and we got everything, and we're loading up our ammunition, everything, all that fun stuff, to where I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is actually
the fear. We'll be right back. We'll talk more. Welcome back to the I've Decided radio show. We are in the studio today with Mr. Brian Wood. We are happy to have you, Brian, and hearing your story of really your military story you're sharing with us, but the power of fear and how it holds you back. And that's what you're going to be speaking on at the conference, and how that kind of brought you to where you are today as the owner of Good Shepherd Defense and Training here in Peoria. But we kind of like had to shut it down quick for the last break, and you were just getting to Afghanistan.
I was just getting there.
And it was like when you landed, it was like the first time that all of a sudden that fear, it's like, oh crap.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So I equate it to, you could practice all you want, singing, and then all of a sudden you're thrust in front of a crowd. And as soon as the microphone goes on in the middle of your mind, you're like, oh, this is it. This is real. There's no backing out of it. So, it was 2009, and this was when everything was ramping up pretty heavy over there. That's when I had just been promoted to E5. I was sergeant, so I actually had a team underneath me as well. my primary job was infantry. My secondary MOS was mortarman, so I would operate the mortar. So I had a mortar team assigned with me, and we were going to a remote outpost to help and assist with their indirect fires teams and stuff like that there, and their security. So part of the fear that was ramping up was something that a lot of people struggle with, and it's the fear of the unknown. So you don't really know what to expect. You could read stories, you could read reports, you can get you know, status updates and briefings and everything and all that other fun stuff, but really you don't know. And when we got to our base, it wasn't but 10 minutes later, I was unloading all of my gear, and some random guy just comes up, and he was asking, he's like, Wood, is there Sergeant Wood here? I said, yep, that's me. He said, come here. The ARSIC commander wants to talk to you. Oh, what did I do? I haven't been here for 10 minutes. I'm in trouble. So they pulled me into the office, and they found out that I was the most experienced mortar person in that region. And they ripped me away from my team, and they actually sent me south to be embedded with, it's called an ETT team, an embedded tactical training team. So that what we did was we lived with and we trained the Afghan National Army. So that was something I did not train for. I didn't train to go to any type of combat advisor school or any of that stuff. I trained to be with my guys who I'd been training with for about a year now, right? So a big fear of the unknown. And come to find out that it was one of the hottest areas in our ARSIC region, ARSIC West, Southwest. It was one of the hottest areas we were in. Hottest in terms of engagement. Right?
I was about to say hottest, like
it was hot,
dangerous
too.
sweaty, but hot, dangerous.
The thermometer broke when it hit 127.
Oh my Lord!
But then the thermometer broke. But anyway, so I went with a small team of there's about 12 of us. I was the youngest ranking person on our team, we were in charge of of an Afghan battalion, and I had people underneath me that I would be instructing and indirect fire support and heavy weapons and stuff like that. So it was a real shaker. I was not expecting that.
I would think you would kind of have fear every day. Like, well, I mean, you just kind of get, do you just say, okay, I'm just going to be scared all the time, like be in fear all the time, because it's just like a part of what's happening? Is that kind of what happens?
So it's funny because you get desensitized to it after a while. From that fear of the unknown, stuff becomes normal. Now you'll still get the jitters. Obviously, we would have, intel reports of where we're going the next day, for our missions and things like that, or a village we just left, heard about, insurgents in that area or hit another friendly unit around there. It's like, man, we were just there. But at the same time, you kind of have a role and you have a job to do, and you got to do it. I mean, that's the thing, that's the thing with military. In law enforcement and other, aspects there is you have guys that are depending on you. You're all cogs in one machine, and if one breaks down, the whole machine breaks down, and that's where all of the training and everything comes from way back from day one of boot camp. That's specifically what it's for. It's to break you down as an individual and make you part of a bigger organization.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, I sit here and I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, man, you must be fearless today. I don't want to jump ahead. We'll talk about that. But I guess the point is I could just sit here and listen to you tell these stories for hours, really, because it impresses me. One, two, I'm honored to be here with you. And thank you for, protecting us and being on that side. And so I feel like it's a real privilege to be sitting here with you and to actually hear this story firsthand.
I'm just blessed to be here now, because definitely there were some close calls.
I have such a respect for you and all the all the people in the military, but it's just amazing, and the story only gets better, guys. But the point I wanted to make is obviously that experience, things that you went through in the military, that most of us here in America will never experience any kind of fear to that intense level, makes you, I think, an expert in speaking on the subject matter and sharing, with us to say, I know you said the fear that you had to face was kind of like you didn't have a choice.
Right. Yeah, you didn't really have a choice. But I want to go back about 15 seconds. Is where you can kind of tie it into something that we, you know, obviously as the owner of Good Shepherd Defense now, as we talk about is, you know, mostly when we're getting into a class and I talk about my background or maybe a few close calls that we had and, you know, where the aspect of fear comes in or even your role in that or your purpose in that moment, what have you, is I had the benefit and the advantage of being trained for years prior to that, having, you know, wonderful equipment, fantastic, at least better than our, you know, than our enemies, obviously. Again, it is government property. And so, but also had the advantage of already having that element in our head, already knowing what to look for. Now, you take that and you want to bring into the subject of never having a fear like that. I have had women specifically tell me terrible stories of things that have happened to them, and they've had no one to rely on. They had no training previously. They had no thought that it was even going to happen. They had no assistance. It was just them by themselves. And it's one of the reasons why we do what we do at Good Shepherd. You know, military, you understand you kind of you put yourself in that position, but you have time to train for it, and you have a team that's backing you up. If you're not careful, things can happen to you, whether you're ready or not. And that's another type of fear that everyone is susceptible to.
Wow. Yeah, it's so true. I've been, I had the privilege of sitting through one of Tracy's trainings out there as far as like awareness training and just learned so much like what you're saying and women living in fear because of something that's happened to them. That's a totally different kind of fear. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that when we get back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the I've Decided radio show. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided and host of your show today. I'm in the studio with Brian Wood. I feel so honored to be with him. I hope you've been tuning in. He's a retired vet and been sharing a bit of his story in the military with us. And it's just so impressive. And of course, he is one of our business resources and so thankful for that. Has Good Shepherd Defense and Training out on University here in Peoria. And so it was a good time to give a shout out to all of our business resources. We want to thank them because it's because of them that we have opportunities like this radio show and our motivational leadership conferences that we're able to put on for you so that you can get motivated and inspired and learn and grow. So we thank them and we want you to thank them by spending your time with them and learning more about them. And if you need their resources, checking them out. And you can visit them on ivedecided.org. And if you click on business resources, you will find all of our business members there. We have over 60 of them. So we're very thankful for that. We're talking today about our weekly winning word purpose a little bit. We've tied that into the show and just talking about purpose because, you know, that's what we do. We want to help you achieve your goals and dreams or fulfill your purpose, whatever that might be. And I know a lot of times fear is what holds us back from fulfilling our goals, from fulfilling our dreams. Maybe it's fear of failure, fear of success, just fear in general, fear what people are going to think. There's just so many fears out there. And Brian, I know you're going to help us overcome some of those fears in your session at our February 1st conference, and we're happy to have you. But you were sharing a different type of fear. Like you said, you had the experience, you had the practice. So yeah, you were fearful in your situation, but you had a confidence too from your training.
Right.
Different than someone who might be walking down the street with no experience, no protection, no...
Yeah, so it's one of the things we tie in is just people not understanding the reality of what could possibly happen, you know? So we never want to go off of the probability. We always go off of the possibility. Is it possible? Yes, right? We don't want to go off, well, it's a 75% chance, either yes or no. But like I was alluding to earlier, it's just the, yeah, you know, we've got the equipment, we've got the training, we already know what type of environment we're in the military, you know, what mission we're on. We've got the intelligence, we've got the, you know, we had the mission briefing prior to, we already kind of know, you know, as much as we can possibly know. We have that mindset already. But then you talk to the person who has no clue that it's coming, who has have no training whatsoever, who has no background in any self-defense or anything else like that, and they're by themselves. You know, that's not fear, that's terror.
Yeah.
They're put into a terrible situation where it's life or death, and they have no, there's nothing going for them, which is why you will have people who assault people. They're the ones who choose their victims, and they choose what is going to most benefit them, not the victim.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely. There's different types of fear, and there's different types of levels, yeah.
So, all right, so when you retired out of the military and you came back into the civilian world, did you know that you wanted to have a business like Good Shepherd Defense and Training, or how did that come about?
Not at all. So everything came about, you know, we don't believe in accidents or luck or anything else like that, you know. Believe that God puts everything in front of us for a reason. And we don't always understand it. Right. But you could always take a step of where you're at and look back behind you, and you could see where God helped you and, you know, where he showed you the way. And then you look forward at the storm that you're going through and you're like, I cannot see the way. Anyway, so I separated from the military after 12 years. I had injuries. So I was a medical discharge. So I tried to switch my jobs. I tried to do anything I could possibly do to stay in, and it wasn't working. So one reason or another, I had a medical discharge. So after 12 years, I was just like, we were talking about before, you know, is that where I think I found my purpose, or that was like a really big passion of mine? And it was. And I felt like the rug was just literally like pulled out from underneath me. It's like, well, what am I going to do now? I can't pursue that. You know, I really couldn't pursue law enforcement either because of the injuries that I had. I wasn't even, I couldn't even pass the physical power test. So the two things that I wanted to be ever since I was a child, they were taken from me. So
that's a fear.
Yeah, so that was a fear.
That's
right.
A whole other fear, because now you're like, okay,
what am I going to do? I've got a family, you know? So one of the things where it kind of alluded to Good Shepherd was Illinois at the time, you know, when I was still in the military, Illinois at the time had passed their concealed carry law, the last state in the union to do so. And I went to go seek my training. Got my training, and it was a terrible experience, horrible experience, for a myriad of reasons. The professionalism that was given wasn't there. Safety wasn't a consideration. It was just a terrible experience, especially with my background of me knowing what training looks like and what it should. And I left with more questions than answers. And I was in a room of about 50 other people. And I know that if I didn't get the information, that the other 49 people probably didn't either. And that scared me even more. I went home, and I remember talking to my wife at the time. Not at the time, we're still married. So I'm sorry.
No, at that time, yeah. I got you.
I love you,
well,
honey.
I knew you were still married, but maybe the audience didn't, but that's
good. Yeah, so, and I spoke with her, and I was telling her, I'm like, I could do that better. You know, that's terrible. And I somewhere to where the conversation was like, well, why don't you? And I was like, well, yeah. So looked into it, and I went through, I got retrained, I found, you know, credible instructors, I got retrained, I went through as much training as I possibly could to bring in the law enforcement side, the military side, and the civilian side of all aspects to bring that in, and that's where I started Good Shepherd Defense, it started small. It started as just concealed carry only, but I knew that if anyone who's listening has ever taken the concealed carry course, I don't care who your instructor is, it's 95% PowerPoint presentation education, and it's actually 5% hands-on. Like, it's just, you really can't deviate much in that 16-hour curriculum that's mandated by the state. And because of that, people would always ask for more, because, yeah, that's exactly what you guys need. Everyone needs more. So with that, It started off small, and it's grown huge because there's such a need for it. A lot of people realize how inadequately trained or prepared they are. And even in the military, this is a complete 180 in terms of a lifestyle, basically what it is. The military helped assess that, you know, in terms of situational awareness and all those other things. But the civilian and military differences in terms of, you know, law and self-defense and all those other things of can I and can't I, it leaves a lot of questions. So Good Shepherd kind of paved the way for that, and I was happy to start it.
Yeah. How long have you guys been going?
2015.
Since 2015. So about 5 years.
Mm-hmm,
awesome. I mean, I know I've gotten to know Tracy really well. Mm-hmm. One of your instructors out there.
Yeah.
She's been on the show. She's awesome. But we'll learn a little more about Good Shepherd when we get back from this break. Welcome back to the I've Decided radio show. You are tuning in this morning. We have our guest in the studio, Mr. Brian Wood, and he is the owner of Good Shepherd Defense and Training here in Peoria. And if you've been listening, you know he's also a retired vet. So we are very honored to have him here with us today sharing some of his story. And we're even more honored to have him be one of our speakers at our Motivational Leadership Conference happening Saturday, February 1st at Weber Ridge. So you want to make sure you get your tickets for that. We'd love to see you there. If you are a member of I've Decided, it's included in your membership, or you can just register for the conference, and you can do that at ivedecided.org. Brian's going to be speaking on fear and, you know, what happens on the other side of fear, the power of fear and breaking through fear. And I've heard this presentation, and it's just really, really, really incredible. And he shares a story, which we didn't share on the radio today. So you really got to come to the conference in order to hear the rest of the story, because there's more to that story in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
But when you come to the conference, you'll hear him talk about that. But I just, you know, coming back to fear holding us back from our purpose, fear. You know, some people are bound to their, I know I was talking about Tracy right before we went on our last break, one of your instructors who I've gotten to know very well. She participates and I've decided, and I've been through her, a few of her classes, and just really love her. But she was bound by fear that like kept her home.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people, and maybe you guys, somebody might be listening right now. If you're bound by fear, that's keeping you at home because of something that has happened, I want to really encourage you to reach out to Good Shepherd Defense and Training, because they have instructors that, like Tracy, who've actually experienced that, and which is why she does what she does.
Right.
And that's really cool.
Yeah, we're pretty down to earth. We're real people.
Yeah. And you're not just doing, obviously you can learn how to shoot out at Good Shepherd. You can be trained to shoot. You can get your license. You can do all kinds of things. But it's not just about guns.
No, it's not. And every class we talk about, firearms are the last resort. And that's the last thing that we want to be able to utilize. So we try to branch out as much of our training as we possibly can to make that not have to be the answer. Even to see warning signs ahead of time, you know, days, weeks, months out ahead of time. So during the break, we were talking about, you know, people we partnered up with. You know, we partnered up with the Peoria County Sheriff's Department. They've come in a few times. They've done classes in terms of situational awareness and stuff to be looking out for, you know, keeping your head on a swivel and just opening your eyes. And, you know, hoping we're reaching out to this Center for Prevention of Abuse to talk about human trafficking and abuse and stuff like that, to where maybe it's, you know, something you could realize or you could see, whether it's happening in your own life or even if a neighbor, you could start to see signs so that, you know, weeks or months down the end or the road, it doesn't have to end in a violent manner. It could be stopped.
Right.
So,
and that's just that situational awareness. I actually took my daughters through that class.
Yeah.
And they're 15 and 17.
Right.
And they were like, Mom. But they actually enjoyed it and they participated.
Right.
And they really learned. In fact, Katie the other day, she went running by herself and I didn't know. And she said, I went running, and I said, by yourself? And she goes, Mom, I took the class.
Right.
But I'm like, yeah, I know, but still, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like so scary. We live in a world today where you want to be hopeful. You want to trust people. And we do know that most people are good. Most people aren't murderers or, you know, people that are going to hurt you. But
right.
Like you said, you don't go with the probability.
It's the possibility.
It's the possibility.
Yeah, the biggest thing we go off of is there an opportunity for it to be done? A lot of people don't walk around every day thinking, I'm going to murder somebody today, or I'm going to commit larceny today, or any of that stuff. But I tell you what, you know, you might work in an environment where you're like, I don't have any thieves who work with me or anything like that. Leave a $100 bill on your desk all day. Keep your door open in your office or wherever you're at and see if it's there at the end of the day. And what happens is you create an opportunity for someone to do something without any witnesses, and that's what happens, is if the opportunity is there, people can take it.
Well, we're tempted. We're just human
right.
beings.
Right.
And given a situation or a circumstance, you know, really, I've heard this said, you know, sanity and sane is a fine line, right? Mm-hmm. And anything can cause someone to snap one way or another.
Right.
And it can happen. But, yeah, I just think what you guys are doing out there is really, really cool. Mm-hmm. I believe that I don't know how it could happen, but I think you should be in the high schools teaching, you know, these kids that are going to be boys and girls
right.
that are leaving off to go to college. You know, my daughter's going to college 9 hours away.
Yeah.
You know, and some of these kids have been really protected and they might not be aware or walking around with their eyes open. Have you thought about, you know, maybe trying to get into some schools and working with the kids and doing some situational awareness?
All doors are open. So if anyone ever reaches out to us, you know, goodshepherddefense.com, anything you want, every class that we have has been developed because people have wanted it. And wherever there's a need, we'll fulfill it. And like I said, it started small. It started with just Illinois Concealed Carry, and it grew from there based off of what people needed and what people were wanting.
Right.
For instance, I mean, there's things out there that it's unfortunate we have it. We've been doing church security training and consultations for 5 years now, you know, and it's just one of those things where it's unfortunate that we have to do it, but we do it. And we've trained dozens of churches around the area, to be on the lookout and to have, you know, their training teams and things like that, their safety teams in place. And that's just one. I mean, but we have it in terms of, you know, children, women only, hands-on. So everyone who's, if you're afraid of firearms, we offer classes that don't even involve firearms at all. It's just basic awareness, basic safety skills, basic hands-on, or even utilizing tools that you already have.
Like a pen. I went through the class right? where we learned how to use, I'm like, don't mess with me. I'll kill you with my pen.
Yeah. So that's where it is. And, you asked a question on break and you were asking, so Good Shepherd Defense, right? Where did that name
come from? Oh, yeah, where did the name come from?
Right?
Almost forgot.
But so Good Shepherd, it's because myself as a Christian started it in that mindset of Good Shepherd, you know, protecting our own, protecting our flock as much as we possibly can. And that's what it was. And I didn't want to name it something overly dramatic, overly masculine, overly tactical, you know, or anything else like that, because it's open to everybody.
Right.
I don't want anyone to walk and look at that and say, I don't want any part of that. That's too hardcore for me. We're open to everybody.
I love the name, Good Shepherd Defense and Training. Awesome. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. We're out of time. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll be back next week.
Stay safe.
Thanks for listening to I've Decided Radio, sponsored by I've Decided, a local organization designed to help motivate you to reach your goals. Listen every Sunday morning at this time for I've Decided Radio. For more information, go to ivedecided.org. What will you decide?